Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 1124. It is Tuesday, the 24th of July, 2018. On the podcast today, I have Richard Wilkins, Chief Financial Officer of Phoenix Global Mining, PGM is ticker, and Richard discusses their proposed New York listing, their share consolidation, plus progress at the company. I also have on the podcast Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, talking about feedback, IMC Exploration, and Cerillion, that's C-E-R. Plus, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Richard Wilkins, Chief Financial Officer of Phoenix Global Mining. That's PGM. Richard, thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Justin. A pleasure to be with you again.
Yeah, and a very interesting development today. You've got a sort of American sort of listing and a share consolidation. We'll go into details of that in a bit. Before we do, for people listening right now, Richard said they've just tuned in for the first time and they're looking at stock market investments, or they're sort of not that familiar with your company. Can you explain what you're all about, please?
Certainly. Well, we are, our flagship project is the Empire Mine in Idaho in the USA. It's a past producing mine. We're going to put it back into production with a simple open pit heap leach project to start with. That will be 8,000 tons of copper a year from, or by, early 2021. There's massive potential in the historically mined higher grade underground ore body that's below the open pit. We also have two properties on the Idaho Cobalt Belt, which look very prospective indeed. And we have a high-grade gold property in Northwest Territories in Canada. And so we are clearly North American-focused, Idaho in particular, and that's a large part of the reasoning behind today's announcement, of course.
Yeah. Well, yes, you announced some news proposing a share consolidation and dual listing on the New York OTCQX. Can you tell us more about this and why you're doing it then, Richard?
Certainly. Well, we've today posted a notice to shareholders convening a general meeting for the 14th of August, and the purpose of that meeting is to consolidate our share capital in preparation for a dual listing on the New York OTCQX market, which we would hope to complete by the end of September. I'd emphasize that we're staying on AIM. So it is a dual listing, and we will remain listed on AIM. But as just mentioned, our assets are all in North America, heavily focused on Idaho. And so it's a logical step in the company's development. But we have been promoting the company in North America since the IPO, particularly in New York. We've attended numerous meetings, given various presentations. We did the mining one-to-one recently. And to be honest, we've had a tremendous reception. There seems to be real demand to buy into their own assets. And everyone likes the idea of a copper mine going back into production in their own backyard in Idaho. And everyone's also very excited about the cobalt. And so it would appear that we've got significant interest in our stock over there. But the problem is, Justin, that interest is largely unrealized because, frankly, it's just not easy to buy shares if you're a North American investor, whilst we are solely listed on AIM, and in particular, trading at a penny-based price. Mm-hmm. The brokers have problems doing it on behalf of their clients. So the share consolidation will fix the price issue, and we should then trade at a level permissible for the OTCQX. We qualify in all other respects. And so that's why we're doing the consolidation. But what this is really about is not the consolidation. It's about the OTCQX listing, which we are quite excited about.
Yeah. No, as an investor, do you know, I've had companies brought to me from different parts of the world, and the hassle of buying abroad is just, I don't bother. So, you know, it's just hard work. So it's good you're doing this. And so this will mean, so what does it actually mean for shareholders over here then?
Well, what will happen here, to give you an example, we've got five drill rigs running on site at the moment. So five drill rigs have rolled through the little town of Mackie where the mine is, and attracted a great deal of interest. And so we've had not just the staff that we've been hiring, but our drilling contractors, even members of the local community, going up to our general manager and saying, how do we buy shares in Phoenix? And they call their brokers, whether they're in Boise, Idaho, or wherever else, and are being told, well, we can't. We're not allowed to buy penny stocks, and it's an overseas market. So what we think is that this listing will open up the share register to a potentially large new investor base. It should improve liquidity, trading liquidity in our stock. We think that it will strengthen our institutional backing. And it is just a logical, positive, and if I may say so, inexpensive step to take. Mm-hmm. So existing shareholders, other than the stock consolidation, they'll get a new share certificate, one share for every 10 they hold right now, and the share price will obviously, or should, increase 10 times. Mm-hmm. They won't notice any difference. They'll still be trading on AIM, but with any luck, the company will get a re-rating, and I'm hoping that this will have a decent effect on our market capitalization, our overall trading liquidity, and the company as a whole.
Yeah, well, you did touch on it, but so explain why you need to consolidate. Is it because they don't deal in penny shares? What's the deal?
Yes, the OTCQX, in order to list on that market, you have to have been trading, I think it's for a month, at a minimum of the equivalent of US 25 cents or higher. Mm-hmm. So while we're trading here on AIM at between 3 and 4p or wherever, we don't qualify. But if we consolidate the stock 10 times and theoretically turn a 3 or 4p share price into 30 or 40 pence, we do qualify. So that was the only obstacle we had, to be honest. On all other respects, we qualify. So that's why we're doing the share consolidation, quite simply to get the share price to a level that's permissible for us to go onto the OTC market.
Yeah, yeah. And, just to reassure investors on AIM, you're still going to be, you'll be dual-listed, so you won't be leaving AIM at all, will you?
No, we're not leaving AIM, not at all. AIM is our primary listing, and our global market cap, if you like, would still be quoted in pounds sterling over here based on the consolidated stock, which would include the stock that's trading in US cents, dollars, or whatever over there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. And so take us through how this will help you. I mean, it'll obviously help local investors take part in the development of the mine there and have a part of the skin in the game. But how will this help you in your next steps going forward?
Well, we have to finance the mine, of course, and we've had a very positive reaction to that as well in New York from various mine finance houses that we've started discussions with. So we're looking to finance the mine in the United States without issuing any large amounts of equity, if any equity at all. We're fairly confident that we can get the finance from combinations of debt, metal offtake financing, equipment financing, etc., etc. So we're quite active now in New York, and we're certainly developing our profile. And wherever we go, people at the moment, institutional, retail, whatever, are saying, "Well, you guys need to be trading on the OTCQX. You know, we'd be interested in buying this stock." So we will continue to do what we do over here, We will increase our emphasis on promoting the company in North America, not just New York, but elsewhere in the States and indeed in Canada. And we just feel that this is a very logical and positive step for the company to enable a whole new potential investor base to engage with the company. And as we grow, it would make sense for the American public and the American institutions to get more involved with us because the projects are in Idaho.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and look at the last, you know, sort of towards the end of this year, what are you hoping to achieve, you know, before 2019, Richard?
Well, there's an awful lot happening, Justin, and we've got the drilling program going on right now. That's 40,000 feet, five drill rigs running away. So over the coming weeks, apart from this general meeting, we're going to have regular news flow coming out on the drilling program because the assay results are starting to come back now to the company. So once we've done our own internal QC, QA checks on those, we'll start releasing those. September should be quite busy, apart from our interim results. We hope to have an updated resource. We will be filing our plan of operations with the relevant authorities. That's a very important stage in the permitting process. We'll have the listing itself, of course, which we hope would be by late September. And all of this is in the background is of course the bankable feasibility study that we're working on, which we hope to have complete by April or so next year, before we then go into the project finance and start construction. So a busy time ahead, should be quite a lot of news flow, and that's that'll be good for the American market as well as the British market over here.
Yeah, it is a busy time ahead. Okay, well, Richard, one final thing. If someone's listening right now, likes the sound of this and the progress you're making but are not yet following the company, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button and add you to their watch list, please.
Certainly. Well, I think we'll repeat what we've said before, to be honest. We're in the right metals, copper, cobalt, gold, tungsten. I think at the right time, in that the sentiment for copper and cobalt in particular is looking excellent, and we're certainly in the right place. You can't get more geopolitically stable than, frankly, Idaho or the Northwest Territories for that matter. And so right metals, right place, right time, and if I can add a fourth point, a very exciting time as well with what I hope will be a very positive impact on the company with this New York listing coming up.
Marvellous stuff. Good to chat to you, Richard, and hopefully, like I said, lots going on, so hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You all right, Al?
I'm fine, Jess. Very good morning to you all, and I hope you had a good holiday in Turkey.
Yes, but you know what? It's even hotter than here, which is crazy, isn't it? I mean,
that's some going, isn't it?
Yeah, at one point it was like a couple of days in a row. It hit 40 degrees in midday, you know, and or from midday on to about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock, and that level, it is too hot because your body temperature, the thing should be around 36.8. So anything above that, you're standing still and you're sweating. It's like you don't have to do anything. You watch sweating. So it's actually hotter. The surrounding environment is hotter than your internal body temperature, which is not good because you need to keep it cool, of course.
But that's when you need to jump into the sea quickly or the pool.
It was nice, though. Very nice. Just sit back, relax, and do nothing for a little bit. Cool. Yeah. All right. Have you been away as well?
Well, I have, yes. I've been with a group of guys. We call ourselves Wrong Direction. We're a bunch of motorcyclists and obviously, you know, play on the One Direction thing. But we always get lost when we go on tour. But no mishaps this year. We toured. We went to Spa-Francorchamps and then we toured into Germany around the Eifel, which is absolutely beautiful. The German roads are fantastic. They're just clean, beautiful, and the country's beautifully kept. And I was thinking as I was riding around there, how on earth did the Nazis get a foothold? You know, how did their ideology get a foothold in such a beautiful country? But anyway, it did. But we came back to a place called Chimay in Belgium, which is famous for its beer. So we sampled loads of that. And they also had a classic motorcycle road race there that weekend as well, last weekend too. So we stayed for that and then came back on Sunday night. So, yeah, great trip.
Marvellous. Yeah, well, do you know what? I think it was largely down to us flattening their country in World War II and the Americans. It allows it to have such a nice clean roads and all that stuff, because they completely restructured their company, didn't they? And
they did. And of course, a lot of Germans were disaffected by the Treaty of Versailles, which at the end of the First World War, which gave what many Germans viewed as a raw deal. But nonetheless, the country, the infrastructure there is just fantastic, and you can see riding around even in the country just what a powerhouse of a country Germany is. It's a fabulous place, and the beer there, in particular the Weiss beer, is just fantastic. So got to put on a bit of weight. Over that time, even though again it was so hot, when you're riding along, it's okay because you've got the blast of the wind to keep cool. But as soon as you stop, it's just you've got all the bike gear on. It's just you're just pouring the sweat. So
Well, you know, I came back from an all-inclusive holiday in Turkey, and I think I've put on about half a stone, I think. But I did lose some before, just in case. But it's impossible not to overeat when you know, why have one dessert when you can have five? You know, it's simple as that. Let's go to the shares, Alice. What are we looking at?
Okay, three companies for you today. Just first, we want to look at Feedback PLC. What's interested me, of course. I mean, Feedback, just to recap for listeners, is a medical imaging company, and it has two main product lines, I guess you could say. But the jewel in the crown is, of course, Texrad, which is well proven globally on the medical research front, and essentially can identify tumours from images than tumours and conditions that can't be picked up by the naked eye. And it's been hugely successful. It has a CE mark against it now, It also is used under license by flying brands, of course, and has multiple applications and is used by many renowned hospitals throughout the world. Also has Cambridge Community of Imaging, which is a medical archiving service, and at CCI has about a year ago, they signed a deal with Future Processing in Poland to further develop the archiving network. And of course, last year we discussed David Crabb, the CEO, joining the company, and David's background, and of course we had the announcement this week that David Crabb has now stepped down as CEO. So, but what interested me in particular is that the share price has barely moved. In fact, it actually pipped up at the end of the day's trading yesterday. So clearly, he didn't put or impart that much of an impression onto shareholders of the company and the markets. And his departure has barely caused a flicker, which I view as very good news. And it really, to me, underscores the value of the Feedback portfolio. But clearly what needs to be done is they need to, with the shareholders they have on board, including Tim Irish, who we've spoken about beforehand, they need to put together a board that are clearly focused on delivering value and further expanding the Feedback offering.
Well, do you know what I think? David Crabb's time there did a good job, I think. I mean, he did restructure the company. A lot more people took skin in the game. A lot of people came on the board, who had strong medical backgrounds, Simon Sturge, etc. But I think, you know, that's as far as he can do it from a corporate level, you know, because he doesn't have a medical background. So straight away, when that RNS came out and he was stepping down, I think they're making way for a medical-based CEO, you know, or someone like that. And part of me, I don't know, this high speculation here, but part of me thought if Simon Sturge, I don't know why, because he's with Merck, but I know there's been a lot of acquisitions and mergers going on in that section, so, and the fact that he took a lot of skin in the game says a lot to me. But I think that could be a move towards maybe someone, you know, who's had a senior position in medical imaging or something like that. I think that could be the gig for them, you know. I'm thinking maybe that's what it is, because David Crabb has done what he can there. He's on a corporate level, he's done very well. Yep. I think he's cleaned up a lot. A lot of the people now have skin in the game, change it around to a more believable business, you know. But how far can he take it when he doesn't have any experience in that medical field, you know?
I think you're right, Jess. I think somebody with a medical background, and clearly with Simon Sturge, as you say, taking skin in the game in the manner he has, it's a very positive thing. So let's hope that he's the man. And I think if that announcement or if that did come to pass, that would be received very positively by the markets, particularly given where the share price is now. An exciting juncture for feedback, and these little things that can seem to be negative at the time, but this is one cloud which I believe has a considerably larger silver lining than the size of the cloud, perhaps.
Of course, that's high speculation. I don't say Simon Sturge, but I'm just saying
speculation. Shares can go down as well as up, but that's just speculation on our part on this podcast.
It's my opinion that maybe that's the way forward. It's not a bad thing. Anything else, Al?
Yes, I want to go back to next exchange listed IMC Exploration. The epic code is IMCP. We have spoken about IMC before. Just to recap on what the company does, it's a mining exploration company. It has three projects in Ireland, which of course is a very benign environment and very, very pro-mining. The primary project is the Evoca project in Wicklow, and there are thought to be a significant amount of copper, zinc, lead, arsenic, aluminium, and gold in the region.
Arsenic,
I know, it's terrible, isn't it? Yeah, but the mines have left. The mine activity has been going on there for hundreds of years, and the old mine infrastructures and the works there have left tailings that cover something like 28 hectares, and there's seepage from one of the tailings on Mount Platt indicates there's a significant concentration of copper, lead, zinc, and arsenic, and other raw resources at the project. There was a joint venture announced with Trove Rehabilitation a short while ago, along with a restructuring the board. The previous incumbents, Niall Ring and Lee McGrattan, stepped down, and in their place came a new director, Eamon O'Brien, who has a background in e-commerce. He was founding member of CFO of Eurocommerce, which is now owned by MasterCard, and Catherine Byrne, who's a communications director based in director of a communications company based in Dublin. So it's a new take on this company, but the JV with Trove Rehabilitation to rehabilitate the tailings from the Vulcan region is particularly potent. In addition, IMC has the North Wexford Gold Project, where there's something like across the 13.5 mile area, through drill intercepts encountered notable traces, 354 grams per ton of gold in that region, and also we have the Kilbricken Zinc Project, which is rated to be by independent research one of the top 10 base metal deposits in Ireland. So between those three projects, we've got a company that's currently worth just 3.6 million. The share price dropped to a penny after the announcement of a raise of $250,000, but has now started to nudge back up again, and currently is sitting at 1.5p. And of course, the volumes on NEX aren't the same as say AIM or main market, but nonetheless the share price has started to move upwards again, and I think we've now got the board in place, the JV has been signed, so I think we can expect some news flow from this company in the very, very near future.
And the ticker is IMCP. And did you know, Al, most companies now on Next can now be followed on Vox Market site.
Great stuff. Okay, so if you go to your Vox page, if your Vox profile page, and click on IMCP, you'll be able to pull that up and
just
watch that company.
Follow button, and you'll get news straight to the front screen of your smartphone, if whichever company you follow. You know, that happens on any company, but we're slowly integrating all of Next. I mean, most of them are there now. There may be some little details need filling in, but most of them have been integrated. But if you have any issues, let us know and we'll sort it out for you. But showing 1.25 pence at the moment.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Cool, Marvis. Anything else, Al?
Indeed. We've spoken about this company before. In fact, the share price was 145p when we last spoke. A company called Cerillion, C-E-R is the APIC code. They provide mission-critical software for billing and CRM systems, and they've been established for some 18 years with 81 customers across 43 countries. Serves primarily telecoms, but also utilities and financial services too. It is based in London, but also has operations in India and in Australia and also the US as well. Interestingly, the CEO of the company, a guy called Louis Hall, led the management buyout for Cerillion from Logica in 1999. So he's been at the head of this company ever since, which is a great thing. You've got stable management in place. But what particularly caught my attention was that Vectorvest, the stock analysis and portfolio management platform, picked this up as it picked it up as a buy previously, but it also triggered a number of alerts across the platform in early May this year. The company announced interims on May the 14th. EBITDA grew by 6%, revenues were up 11%, and also the dividend was raised by 7% to 1.5p. Cerillion at that point said things were looking very encouraging. They were tendering for a number of contracts, and also later, at the end of May, in fact, the company announced it was part of the winning team that secured the outstanding Catalyst Business Impact Award at the Digital Transformation World's conference in Nice, in France, at the end of May. So the company's making progress, well established in this field. The Vectorvest picked the stock up at when it was trading at where it is now, 161p, the relative value metric is rated as excellent at 1.42. That's on a scale of 0 to 2, and also the relative timing metric too. So from a timing standpoint and a charting standpoint, the stock looks highly significant, set for an upturn, and it looks set to break out on the chart too. And Vectorvest have a target for the stock of just under £2. That's 1.99p.
Marvellous. What did you say the ticker was there again?
Ticker for Cerillion is CER.
CER, okay. Yeah. Yep. CER, okay. And not to be confused with Cerillion, which, of course.
No,
it is not no to
be definitely not to be confused with Cerillion.
No,
under no circumstances.
No, in fact, it's not listed anymore, so there'd be no chance of confusing it. Hopefully, with that. But yeah. Marvellous, CER, Cerillion, excellent stuff. Thanks for that, Al, and we'll speak next week, fella.
And they just speak next week. Cheers.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are as follows. At five, Rehobold Resources, RBD. At four, 7 Digital, 7DIG. At three, Ananda Developments, ANA. At two, Angus Energy, ANGS. Number one most followed company is SDX Energy. Ticker there, of course, is SDX. Hopefully we'll get Paul on the podcast very soon. Had another decent result of late in Egypt. Okay, it's time for the top five most popular RNSs in the last 24 hours. At five, Management Resource Solutions, that's MRS. Mrs. Backerman Plant Hire acquires excavator. At four, C4X Discovery Holdings. I've written a blog on this company. Of course, I think they truly are a disruptor in the biotech world. That's C4X 3256 program awarded 480 grand. That's in dollars, by the way, from I think the National Institute of, what is it? Let me just check this out. National Institute of Drug Abuse in the US there. This is off the back of their Indivarva program, which attracts about $300 million. It will do in dollars if they hit the milestones. They've been awarded, of course, $10 million up front dollars from that program. At three, Sound Energy, TE9 commencement of civil works. At two, MySquare Limited, that's MMORPG game launch. And number one most liked RNS came from Highlands Natural Resources, H&R. That's their final results. And that's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.